Welcome to our deep dive, everyone, into the Book of Proverbs.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be focusing on chapters 1 through 9, and I think you're going to be surprised by some of what we find, especially when we start to look at some of these ancient texts through a modern lens.
Yeah, it's amazing to me how these proverbs, they just become so much deeper when we consider how people read poetry today. It's like we've discovered this whole new way to kind of unlock their meaning.
It's not just reading the words on the page, right? There's more to it. So tell me more about what you mean by this modern poetry interpretation.
Well, it's about recognizing that poetry is meant to spark the imagination. Think about it this way. When you read a poem, you're not just passively absorbing information. You're actively constructing meaning,
So it's more about the experience of reading than just like understanding the literal words.
Exactly.
Wow.
And that's where these modern approaches come in. So Dr. Haim, our Proverbs guy, he talks about things like linguistics. That's the study of language itself, and how digging into the original Hebrew words can reveal shades of meaning we might miss in translation.
Interesting. So even something as simple as a word choice can have a big impact
Huge impact.
on how we understand these proverbs.
Absolutely. Then there's metaphor, which is like the lifeblood of poetry. Dr. Haim warns us that metaphors can be incredibly powerful, but also dangerous if we take them too literally.
Dangerous.
Well, take the concept of wealth and prosperity in Proverbs.
Okay.
There's a risk of misinterpreting metaphors and ending up with some like harmful ideas, like the prosperity gospel, which suggests that God rewards faith with material riches.
Yeah, I've definitely heard people use proverbs to justify the idea that, like, if you're financially struggling, it's because you lack faith.
And that's where careful interpretation becomes so important.
For sure.
One example that really highlights this is Proverbs 3:9-10. You might know these verses. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. On the surface, it seems to support that prosperity gospel idea. Give to God and he'll make you rich.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. There's got to be a twist.
You know me too well.
Dr. Haim wouldn't bring this up if it was that straightforward.
Dr. Haim points out something that most people just overlook. Those verses say your barns, plural, and your vats, also plural. That subtle detail implies that the person being addressed here is already wealthy.
So it's not a promise to the poor that they'll become rich. It's advice to those who already have wealth.
It's almost like a gospel for the rich. It's saying, if you are already blessed with abundance, honor God with your wealth.
Okay, so how should we understand that barns filled with plenty part then? Is it still about material wealth?
Well, Dr. Haim suggests it's more about surplus without excess, an abundance that goes beyond your needs. It's not about endless accumulation, but rather recognizing that true generosity leads to a kind of overflowing
Interesting.
where you always have more than enough to share.
That's such an interesting concept. It challenges the whole idea of scarcity
It
that
does,
we're often bombarded with.
doesn't it? And Dr. Haim even poses this thought-provoking question. What is the generous giver to do with this excess, this overflow?
I'm hooked. What's the answer?
The answer, he says, is woven right into the poetry itself. Give it away. Keep the cycle of abundance and generosity flowing. Don't hoard your surplus, share it.
That's great. I love that. That idea of surplus without excess, it really sticks with you. It seems like a powerful antidote to that consumerist mindset that tells us we always need more, you know?
It definitely challenges us to think differently about what it means to be truly prosperous. But, this idea of generosity leading to abundance, it isn't just limited to finances.
Oh, how so?
Well, Dr. Haim makes this fascinating argument that the Old Testament, particularly the wisdom literature, like Proverbs, is actually all about living a good life right now in the present. He even goes so far as to say the Old Testament is the New Testament.
Whoa, that's a pretty bold statement. I'm used to hearing about the New Testament as the fulfillment of the Old Testament.
Right.
But I've never quite thought of it like that.
Yeah. It certainly grabs your attention.
It does.
What he means is that while the New Testament focuses heavily on preparing for heaven and the afterlife,
okay,
the Old Testament offers more practical guidance,
right,
for navigating the challenges and opportunities of everyday life.
So you're saying the Old Testament has more to do with the here and now than we might realize.
Exactly. And that makes it surprisingly relevant for us today.
Mm.
You know, the people of ancient Israel faced many of the same issues we grapple with.
Right.
Things like relationships, work, finances,
mm,
you know, finding meaning and purpose.
Yeah.
They were trying to figure out how to live well in a world that wasn't always easy or fair.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
When you read those Old Testament stories,
yeah,
you see that same struggle playing out again and again.
It's remarkable how those stories resonate across centuries.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Heim points out that for much of its history, the Christian church existed as a persecuted minority.
Oh, yeah.
Facing opposition and hardship, just like ancient Israel.
I guess it's easy to forget that sitting here in relative comfort.
Right.
But looking back through history, we see that the Christian faith hasn't always enjoyed the widespread acceptance it does in many parts of the world today.
And that shared experience, that thread of resilience and perseverance in the face of adversity,
right,
makes the Old Testament all the more powerful.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that faith isn't just about abstract theological concepts.
Right.
It's about living out your beliefs in the midst of real-world challenges.
And it strikes me that this idea of finding meaning and purpose in the midst of hardship,
yeah,
it connects back to what we were talking about with generosity and abundance.
Absolutely true. Prosperity isn't just about material wealth.
Right.
It's about cultivating a deep sense of well-being, of flourishing, even when circumstances are tough.
I love how you're connecting those dots.
Yeah.
So how does the Old Testament help us understand this broader idea of prosperity?
Well, Dr. Heim highlights the poetry of the Old Testament specifically.
Okay.
He says it gives us a language, a framework for expressing those deeper longings for purpose and meaning.
Right.
Even in the face of suffering.
I'm thinking about the Psalms, for example, with their raw honesty about pain and doubt.
Yeah.
But also their unwavering trust in God's goodness.
Exactly. And it's not just about enduring hardship.
Right.
The Old Testament is also full of songs of praise, expressions of joy and gratitude for the blessings we receive.
Okay.
It's a reminder that faith is about embracing the fullness of life, the good along with the bad.
It's interesting how you're highlighting this balance between the challenges and the joys of life.
Yeah.
It seems like a more realistic and holistic perspective than just focusing on one or the other.
You've hit the nail on the head.
Okay.
It's about recognizing that true prosperity encompasses so much more than just financial success.
Right.
It's about living a life of purpose, of meaning, of contributing to something larger than ourselves.
And you're saying that the Old Testament, especially its poetry, gives us the tools to understand and pursue that kind of life.
Dr. Heim calls the Old Testament a treasure of humanity.
Hmm.
And I think that's a beautiful way to put it.
Yeah.
It's a gift that we can draw on, not just as Christians or Jews, but as human beings.
Right.
Seeking to live meaningful and fulfilling lives.
He's not suggesting it's easy, is he?
Well,
I mean, the Old Testament is full of complex stories and challenging ideas.
Right.
It takes work to unpack all that.
He's definitely honest about that.
Okay.
He doesn't sugarcoat it.
Right.
He acknowledges that it takes skill, imagination, and wisdom to truly unlock the riches of the Old Testament.
Hmm.
But he also emphasizes that the rewards are well worth the investment.
And that's where this idea of modern poetry interpretation comes back in, right?
Exactly right.
It gives us a way to approach these ancient texts with fresh eyes and a deeper understanding.
It helps us move beyond just extracting moral lessons or historical facts.
Right.
And allows us to encounter the Old Testament as a living source of wisdom and inspiration.
Yeah, it's fascinating how the Old Testament can be seen as this guide for living well in the present.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, when we apply these modern ways of reading poetry, you know, it makes it feel so much more relevant to our lives today.
You know, it's interesting you use the word guide.
Mm.
Because one of Dr. Heim's most compelling points is that wisdom in Proverbs.
Yeah.
It isn't just about following rules.
Right.
It's something much more dynamic, almost personal, you know?
Okay, I'm really intrigued. Tell me more about this personal aspect of wisdom.
Well, Dr. Heim points out that in Proverbs, wisdom is often personified as a woman.
Okay.
A figure who calls out to us invites us into a relationship.
So it's less about memorizing wise sayings.
Right.
And more about engaging with wisdom as if it were a person.
Exactly. And that relationship, he argues, has the power to transform us.
Okay.
It shapes our character, influences our choices, even changes how we see the world.
It's like wisdom becomes a guide, a mentor, a companion on life's journey.
That's a beautiful image.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting is that Dr. Heim emphasizes this idea of wisdom being rooted in relationship.
Relationship, I'm not sure I follow.
Well, throughout Proverbs, wisdom is contrasted with folly. And folly, he says, is characterized by isolation, self-absorption, a refusal to listen to wise counsel. It's about shutting yourself off from others.
So if folly is turning inward, then wisdom is about opening ourselves up to the world around us.
Yes.
Learning from other people's experiences.
Precisely.
Okay.
And that includes recognizing that we don't have all the answers.
Mm.
You know, that we need the guidance and support of others
right.
to navigate the complexities of life.
That makes me think of the proverb, iron sharpens iron and one person sharpens another.
Yes.
It's that idea that we grow and learn best in community.
Absolutely. But Dr. Heim takes it a step further.
Oh.
He argues that the ultimate source of wisdom, the foundation for all these relationships, is our connection with God.
That makes sense. In the biblical worldview, God is seen as the source of all truth and understanding.
Exactly. So yeah. Pursuing wisdom becomes not just about seeking advice from wise people.
Right.
But also about nurturing our relationship with God, opening ourselves to divine guidance and inspiration.
It's almost like we're invited into this dance with wisdom.
Yeah.
Recognizing that it's a gift that flows from God through others and into our own lives.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
And it's that dynamic interplay, that constant engagement.
Mm-hmm.
That makes the study of Proverbs so enriching.
Right.
It's not just about accumulating knowledge.
Yeah.
It's about allowing wisdom to shape and transform us.
So if we were to kind of step back and summarize everything we've explored in this deep dive into Proverbs, what will you say are the key takeaways for our listeners?
Well, first, I think it's crucial to remember that approaching these ancient texts with the modern understanding of poetry can unlock a whole new level of meaning.
Right.
It's about engaging our imaginations, letting the language and metaphors come alive.
And what about that surprising interpretation of Proverbs 3.9:10 that really challenged my assumptions about what it means to be prosperous?
Right. It's a powerful reminder that true prosperity isn't just about accumulating wealth for ourselves.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing the abundance we already have and using it generously to bless others and honor God.
And finally, that idea of wisdom as a personal force, something we engage with in relationship.
Yes.
That's truly transformative.
It is.
You know, it moves Proverbs beyond just a collection of wise sayings.
Right.
And invites us into a lifelong journey of growth and discovery.
It reminds us that wisdom is a gift to be cherished, a path to be followed, a dance to be embraced.
Well, it's been a truly enlightening deep dive into the book of Proverbs. Thank you for guiding us through these fascinating insights.
It's been my pleasure. May you continue to seek wisdom, to find joy in the journey, and to let its transformative power shape your life.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you found it enriching and insightful. Until next time, keep seeking, keep questioning, keep diving deep into the world of knowledge.